Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid playing with a can that he was kicking. Then I walked across the street and caught the Sunday smell of someone's frying chicken. And Lord, it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing sure to dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down.
Good evening, everyone. This is Sunday Morning Coming Down, a production of North Florida Writer Live on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm James Dick, your host. And as the music was playing, when you hear it, if you ever watch my shows on the list of my shows on the weekend, you know that Sunday Morning Coming Down is my devotional that I usually try to do on Saturday so that it's available longer on the weekend for those who might be infirm or can't go to church or just not sure about what they want to do, but they want learn a little bit more about the Lord. So I offer it each week, and here we are. Time flies, and we're back to another weekend. Down here in North Florida, it's extremely hot today. Went up to about 98, steaming. Imagine Al Gore is out somewhere saying that, "See, I told you so." But no, I think we give ourselves too much credit when we think that man is powerful enough to really conquer nature, the nature that God created. It's much more powerful than we are. But that's a story for a different time. Tonight, our subject is the highway to heaven. And let's quickly look at the pictures, and then I'll get into the program. It's a little bit roundabout getting to where I want to go, but you'll have to bear with me. First of all, there's a picture that I take from the highway to heaven. It shows a walkway, actually, that goes up off the coast, up into the sky to heaven. You could do it with a highway. You could do it with anything. But it just signifies that the road up to the beyond, that's what that is. And then I show a heavenly sunshine, the sun taken from above the clouds, probably from an airplane. And it's very majestic looking, very regal. And light is, of course, the centerpieces of God and Jesus Christ, because we want to live in the light. We don't want to be in the darkness. And then there's a picture of Father God. He's looking down, and he's probably wondering, what in the world have we done to his creation? And I ask that many times myself. Then the picture of Jesus in the temple. This was during the week before he was killed so brutally on the cross. And he has gone into the temple. It was basically on the Monday before Easter. And he went in and turned over all the tables of the money changers and told them, that's not what the temple is for. It's supposed to be a house of God and worship. Then there's the Holy Spirit represented by the dove. He enters you if you open your heart and helps to keep you straight and on the narrow way, following what God wants you to do, which is to be free of sin. And then there's a picture of St. John's Church. It's an Episcopal church in Richmond, Virginia. It's still active. It's very historic because it's where Patrick Henry gave his very, very famous "Give me liberty or give me death" speech many, many moons ago. And then there's the cross, the Bible, and the flag, which signifies America's tie to God since we were founded as a nation under God. And finally, the picture of Johnny Cash with a little kitten. Johnny, the singer of that song, sung it with gusto, had a rough life as a young man, worked his way through it, became a great singer, and lived his life well in the end, and his heart was in the right place. And that song, by the way, if you don't know, was composed by Kris Kristofferson. So that brings us to our topic, the highway to heaven. And the reason I have the topic is I've got a roundabout way I want to get there. But first, let me read a short scripture for you. This one comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it, enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. We're being told in the scripture that life requires some commitments. You can't just do anything you want. That's when he talks about the narrow gate instead of the wide gate. And you have to make choices. You have free will. And you have to live by the decisions that you make because they make up your life and what happens to you in the future. But it's never too late to change. It's never too late to open your heart and let the Spirit in, and he will take you to the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can take you to the Father. And that's what he wants you to do, in a nutshell. But the reason I picked the topic about highways is because I'm very actively involved in a process here in Florida. The state of Florida, the Florida Department of Transportation, is in the process of trying to, we think at least, they won't really be clear with this, but we think it looks like they're trying to figure out a way to put two new superhighways, in particular toll roads, in North Florida. Could be just one or it could be two, which really I think are designed to heavily develop this area. And of course the argument is that everybody's coming to Florida, so we got to be prepared for it. Well, that might be true, but of course I think development needs to be work based upon the natural happening of it. When you have a governor who goes out and recruits around the country to bring everybody to Florida, you're asking for trouble, and that's what's happening. And we've got a lot of problems down here. We've got shortages of water on the horizon. We've got a lot of wetlands and lowlands that really aren't appropriate for building on. And when you do that, you hurt the natural environs terribly. So there's a lot of battling going on, and I don't want to get into politics here, but I just wanted to say that the reason I picked the highway to heaven is because some of the people call this process undergoing now the highway to hell, or the development of it, and I don't know that that's fair. I know that the title came from the song by AC/DC, although I certainly don't like the lyrics to the song, but maybe the title is appropriate. I'm not sure. But I just want you to know that there's a large group of people that are trying to stand up for what they think is right and for their life, and they're afraid that they're going to lose everything they have under the power of the state. And I just don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think there's got to be more give or take. I think we have to make sure that we honor commitments to people that are already here before we start always looking at who else is coming. People need to be productive. Yes, they need to work hard, but they also need to feel like that their way of life that they've worked so hard to create is not going to be destroyed quickly, so they can be replaced by something which might be much worse. Because when you jam too many people together, it's not always a good thing. It doesn't work out so well. There are ways of doing it better, and I don't know that we take the time to do that. But anyway, I wanted to talk about that point because I think it's very important. And all of these people that are working on this come from a wide range of areas. I mean, we've got liberals, conservatives, moderates. We We've got Christians and Jews, agnostics, people who claim no religion, people who claim other religions, blacks, whites, orientals. We got everybody in this group, country people, city people. And it's very hard to bring a group like that together. But when you do, you have to focus on what it is that you're trying to do very, very specifically. And if you can do that, you can be successful. And I think there's something to be said about that, talking about the relationship to God as well. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I just wanted to lead you in with what this is. We're dealing with a highway situation, and how does that relate to the bigger highway, the greater highway, the ultimate highway, the one to heaven? So what we're going to do now is take a little break for a little music, a little Christian music, and when we come back, we're going to get to why I use this topic in the first place and what it means to us as Christians and believers in God. And there's no better hymn for a weekend, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, than the one that I'm going to play right now. So, well done by the group Alabama. Here's The Old Rugged Cross. We'll be back in a few minutes.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I'll lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown.
Beautiful hymn, folks, done very well by the country group Alabama, The Old Rugged Cross. Okay, we're back. And some of you are probably wondering, well, how does what's going on in Florida with highways, because highway issues happen everywhere, and of course state highway departments are very, very powerful, and they push very, very hard, and it's hard to stop what they want to do once they decide they want to do it. Well, there's a real good connection if you give me just a minute here. I mean, basically, when you look at the development of a highway on Earth, you've got highway planners, and you've got all kinds of bureaucracies involved, and you've got all kinds of political elements involved. I mean, you've got a state agency, which is under pressure from politicians, who are under pressure from contributors, that almost makes it impossible for the little guy to get a fair shake. But then again, that very problem is why it's so important for the little guy to stand up for what he's right, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's influential or not, and to dig deep inside and decide, you know, what is really the right thing to do and what should we try to do. And that's what we've tried to do down here. Because highway planners, and don't get me wrong, these are good people. They're doing their job. They're doing what they're asked to do. They're quite good at it. But, you know, when they look at the possible route for a road, they see maps, they see ecological charts, all kinds of studies and all kinds of elements that they've looked at. But the one thing they don't see is people. Who lives out there? Where do they live? What do? What's the impact? And the meeting that I went to yesterday, which is where they're getting close to figuring out exactly what they're going to do, there were a lot of people that have lived in rural areas all their life, small towns, some of them 8 generations, and they're saying, so you're thinking about paving over my land? Because they don't know where this thing is going. So, you know, what we're just saying is there's a lot of give and take that needs to be done, and we need to be careful and don't build highways just to be building them. But how does this rate when we look at our life dealing with God? Well, on an earthly highway, a highway here on earth, there's all kinds of turns and bends in the road. Sometimes they get washed out. They're very complicated road maps that sometimes you have to read, particularly in urban areas, to see where you're going. Although, if you've got the GPS systems, maybe that's not so much a problem. Frankly, I don't like those things. But that's just old me, I guess. There are roadblocks sometimes, bad directions. But still, we have to navigate ourselves through it in a way which will allow us to make it where we want to go. Well, it's the same thing about our life. And particularly our life if we want to live forever. You know, we're put on earth as a mortal sinner. Yet at the same time, we're made in the creation of God. We're supposed to live like him. We're supposed to be like him. We're made in his image. And that's hard to take sometimes. It's hard to figure out. But he gave us free will. And of course, if things went according to schedule, which they always don't, we would have been given parents to hopefully raise us in the right direction so that we become a little bit more mature, still children though. We understand the direction we're supposed to take. But that doesn't always work. Some people have all kinds of roadblocks, broken families, orphanage, all kinds of things. And because of some of these things, not necessarily purposely intended, but sometimes it happens, they get bad directions. But yet these people also have to navigate to figure out where they got to go. And what they're trying to reach, if they really dig deep and think about it, if you open your heart and let the Spirit in, you're trying to reach that entry ramp which takes you to the real highway of the future, the highway that takes you to heaven. Because think about it, folks. The only thing that keeps you from going to heaven is that roadblock called sin. And it's because you were mortal. And since you're mortal, you have free will and you get to make the choice. And you can make the right choice or the wrong choice. You have to live with those choices. I know I've made many bad choices in my life, and they've cost me dearly. But I've tried to work my way through them, and I've tried to ask God for help, and he's made my life much better. I'm still a work in progress, as we all are, because we're never perfect. But that's what he wants us to do. And the way you do that is through prayer. You know, that's basically when you quietly sit down and reverently talk to him. You talk to him. You praise him for what he's given you, and you ask him to help you with the problems you have. That's what you do. And then you supplement that with reading the Bible, because the Bible has the answers to just about all of your questions. Matter of fact, it does have the question, answer all of your questions. If you read it, pay attention, think about it, it'll lead you in the right way. That's what it was designed for. The book of life, basically, kind of like the book of life that, you know, God has up in heaven to see who's supposed to come here. But it's the book of your life while you're living, the one you need to read if you want life. And then, of course, community worship is important because it's very good to reinforce those things that you're trying to follow, as difficult as they might be, by doing it in community with others who are trying to do the same thing. So that's what it's all about. So just like the state is trying to figure out a way to put roads through that it thinks it needs, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, we think, and sometimes we argue. And, of course, when you argue, you're supposed to do it the right way. You're supposed to be logical. You're supposed to be fair. You're supposed to be open, as are they. And a lot of times you can work out the problem in a way that's suitable to everybody. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but nobody ever promised you things are going to always end up the way you want them to. God didn't do that either, because sometimes he tests you by giving you problems that are just not solvable, and you have to just survive with them until you can figure out a way to do better or to make things better for yourself. But anyway, I think an earthly highway, as complex as it can be and how much difficulty it can create for people, is not a whole lot different from the highway to heaven, because the highway to heaven requires some serious navigation through your soul. And that's what he expects you to do. So I hope you see the connection, because I think there is one. The highway of life is what you're on right now. It's a journey. And you've got some roadmaps and directions. You've got the Spirit. You've got the Bible. You've got prayer. And you've got community gatherings of like people to help you get where you want to go. And then if you open yourself and God enters and through the Spirit and tells you what you need to do, you need to listen to his instructions, because they're like your roadmap. They're like your GPS system, and they'll lead you exactly where you need to go. And that's so, so critical, folks. You've got free spirit. You've got free will. Use it properly, and you'll find your way. And in the end, when that highway to heaven takes you to where you want to go, you will really be home, because that's your ultimate home, folks. That's the object of this whole game. Live your life as the best way you can for him, and then he will bring you home to live forever in glory with him. Nothing could be better than that, folks. And that's our message for today. Would you join me in a prayer, please? Dear Lord, we thank you for being here for us and for the things that you do for us and for providing us a roadmap to direct us on how to find our way through the highway of life to the highway to heaven. We want to get to that intersection, and we want to get to that on-ramp. Help us to stay true, to pay attention, to never close our heart to you, and help us to help others do the same thing. Because wouldn't it be wonderful if the highway to heaven needed to be expanded for more people to use it, to get to be with you when life on earth is done? We ask in Jesus Christ, name, your son who died so that we might have the opportunity to live forever. Amen. Okay, folks, that's our show for tonight. I want to remind you that Sunday Morning Coming Down is the weekend segment of my North Florida Writer live programming, and you can go to my Blog Talk Radio site, and you can scroll through all of the programs that I've done, because they stay on demand after I've completed them. And the ones for Sunday are usually marked with Sunday Morning Coming Down, or you can tell as you scroll through. And if you want to listen to some other ones, you might enjoy them. I hope so, anyway. That site is, the address is blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live, blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. And I also write about and talk about a lot of other things. My writing site is on my website, NorthFloridaWriter.com, and I have a blog there. If you look at the top of the first page where it says blog, just click it. It'll take you to the most recent publication. And this programming tonight, when we go off the air here in just a couple of minutes, will be available on demand in about 10 to 15 minutes. The engineers at the studio have to go through it and just make sure it's as high quality as it can be, and then they put it up and it's there. So I hope you'll pass it on to other people that might be interested, and I hope it is worthwhile for you. That's all I'm trying to do. Don't make any money on this. It's just something I do as a labor of love, and I enjoy it. Anyway, folks, that's our show. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Now, tomorrow is Sunday, so please don't sleep in too late. Get up and go and commune with God with friends in a church near you. It's a very important place to go. You got to go down to the river, and there's a river that flows through any Christian church in America. And with that, we'll close with a beautiful song. It's not really a hymn, although sometimes it's used that way, but it certainly has a great message. It's called The Long Black Train. And that long black train represents Satan himself. Looks beautiful. You want to get on board and ride? Don't do it, folks. Stay away. Stay with the guy in the white hat. Stay with the Holy Spirit. And with that, I'll say goodnight as we bring on the show. Have a great weekend and a wonderful Sunday. God bless you all. Be safe out there. And I hope you'll join us again for a new show very soon. Bye now.
There's a long black train coming down the line, beating off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin only evil remain. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the heavens, you can look to the sky. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. If the ride is worth the pain, he's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say, victory. Train is a beauty, making everybody stare. but its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. I said cling to the Father and His holy name. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. That devil's driving that long black train.